Meredith did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across Southeast as you listen. This is their story. NHS Workforce Planning in Isle of Wight West has systematically failed to connect the people who want to train as mental health nurses with the training places that sit empty in state-of-the-art facilities. Qualified professionals return home to care for family, find the doors to advancement locked by Treasury spending limits, and watch resources lie idle while waiting lists grow.
I came back to the Isle of Wight in 2020 because my mum needed me. She was 54 when the early onset dementia diagnosis came through, still young enough to know exactly what was happening to her. I had been working on a cardiac unit in Portsmouth for 2 years after my nursing degree. Good work that I loved, but home called louder. Mum had been a teaching assistant at Carisbrook Primary for 15 years. She knew every child's name, remembered which ones needed extra help with reading, which ones came to school hungry. Watching her lose that recall was like watching someone's life work dissolve, one memory at a time. The island felt smaller after 2 years away, but it also felt like exactly where I was supposed to be. I got a job at St. Mary's Hospital on the general ward, the same place where I had volunteered during sixth form. It was those volunteer shifts that made me want to be a nurse in the first place, watching how the staff could calm someone's fear with just the right words at the right moment. But working back home, I started to see gaps I had not noticed as a teenager. The mental health services especially were stretched so thin that people waited months for appointments while their conditions worsened. That's when I decided I wanted to specialise. Mental health nursing felt like the place where I could make the biggest difference, particularly with an ageing population where dementia and depression often went hand in hand. In 2021, I applied for a specialist mental health nursing course through Health Education England South East. The programme was based at the Isle of Wight NHS Trust, which made perfect sense. I could train where I would work, understand the specific challenges of providing mental health care on an island where the mainland feels very far away when someone is in crisis. The initial response was encouraging. Health Education England told me the programme had excellent facilities at St. Mary's Hospital, purpose-built training rooms and simulation suites that could prepare nurses for everything from acute psychiatric episodes to long-term community care. But then came the qualifier that I would hear again and again over the next 2 years. Funding constraints mean we can only offer 12 places this year instead of the usual 30. 12 places seemed reasonable enough. I was disappointed not to get on that cohort, but I assumed the reduction was temporary, maybe a one-year budget issue that would resolve itself. I spent the year getting more experience on the general ward, shadowing mental health nurses when I could, preparing myself to be a stronger candidate the following year. When I reapplied in 2022, the response from NHS England was even more deflating. Treasury spending limits have further reduced training budgets, they wrote. We are unable to expand the programme at this time. Not just unable to return to 30 places, but unable to increase from the 12 they had offered the previous year. The message was polite, but final, the kind of bureaucratic language that sounds like natural law rather than human decision-making. I tried a different approach. If the national training programmes were constrained, maybe the local trust could offer some kind of internal development pathway. I contacted the HR department at Isle of Wight NHS Trust directly, explaining my background, my commitment to staying on the island, my specific interest in mental health services for an ageing population. The response came back within a week. We simply don't have the budget for additional training places, despite the waiting lists. The phrase stuck with me because of how it juxtaposed the problem with the excuse. They acknowledged the waiting lists existed. They acknowledged that more mental health nurses would help address those waiting lists. But the budget apparently could not stretch to connect the solution to the problem. I accepted this logic at first. Budgets are finite, I thought. Resources are limited. The NHS is under pressure. Everyone knows that. It sounded reasonable, even inevitable. Then, 6 months later, I was walking past the new Riverside Centre at St Mary's Hospital on my way to a shift. It's an impressive building, opened in 2019, with large windows and modern design that looks nothing like the old hospital blocks. I had heard the mental health training wing was in there, but I had never actually seen it being used. That morning, I realised why. The entire wing was dark during what should have been term time. I stopped and asked a security guard who was doing his rounds. "Excuse me, is the training centre not running today?" He looked over at the empty building and shrugged. "Hasn't been running much at all lately. Facility could train 60 students, but it's been running at quarter capacity for 2 years. Shame, really. Beautiful setup in there, simulation equipment that most mainland hospitals would kill for." That conversation changed everything for me. Not the facts themselves, but what the facts meant when you put them next to the excuses I had been given. The building existed. The equipment existed. The capacity existed. So what exactly was it that there was no budget for? I submitted a Freedom of Information request to find out how many people on the island had actually applied for mental health nursing training in 2022. The answer came back 4 weeks later. 18 applications, 4 funded places. 18 people who lived here, who wanted to train here, who would work here once qualified. 4 places funded by a government that issues the currency in which those training places are priced. The arithmetic was simple, but the implications were enormous. If the people existed, and the building existed, and the need existed, then the constraint was not financial. The constraint was the decision by someone in Westminster that connecting these people to this work was not worth the spending required to make it happen. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still on the general ward at St Mary's, still watching the mental health services struggle with understaffing while the training centre sits half empty. But I understand now that what I experienced is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. The decision was to keep it locked.
What Meredith experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget myth as self-evident truth, repeating it until it sounds like natural law rather than political choice. Think of how tobacco companies once cited doctors who endorsed smoking, or how pharmaceutical companies cite researchers who downplay side effects. The expertise sounds credible until you examine who is being quoted and what they are not telling you. In Meredith's story, every rejection letter referenced unnamed Treasury economists and spending experts who had determined that training more mental health nurses was unaffordable. These experts applied household budget logic to a currency-issuing government, treating pounds like a finite resource that must be carefully rationed, rather than the means by which real resources, people and skills and equipment are deployed to meet public need. When Meredith was told, "Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation," she was hearing an appeal to unnamed authority. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. The statement economists say without naming them is an appeal to fake expertise designed to shut down discussion rather than engage with it. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Isle of Wight West, those resources were sitting idle. The training centre existed, the applicants existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Isle of Wight West ranks 172 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation. English Indices of Deprivation 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 531 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales, and received £10.6 million in total grants, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional, every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.